The Steve Conkret Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Governor Bruce Rauner joins us now. Governor, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
And thank you again for joining us. We appreciate the fact that you man up and show up as opposed to the Speaker of the House, my words, not yours, who continues to hide from the people of Illinois, who continue to give him the power that he doesn't deserve at this point. Again, my words. All right, now that I got that off my chest, Governor, let's talk about SB1. The Senate overrode your veto yesterday. We don't know when the House is going to take this up. What are you hearing about that?
Well, we understand the House is going to be in session on Wednesday, and I hope they have a good full discussion about my amendatory veto of SB1, why my changes are more fair and more equitable for all the children across the state. And I hope they decide to pass a bill that reflects many of the changes that I recommended. For your listeners to understand what's going on, I think it would be helpful for them to know they could come to illinois.gov/gov. So illinois.gov/gov, and they can look at the results of my amendatory veto. What's been going on in Illinois, and the special interest groups inside education don't want it to be known, is that the state taxpayers, especially the suburban taxpayers and downstate taxpayers, have been subsidizing Chicago Public Schools' broken system for decades to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. We're trying to change that, expose that, that it's been going on. And we want to help Chicago Public Schools. I want to help them tremendously. But we need to do it in a way that also is fair to children in the suburbs and downstate and to taxpayers around the state as well. So that's the results of the amendatory veto I did.
And I've heard some complaints over the weekend that possibly the amendatory veto was too broad. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, no, I think that's just an excuse. That's sort of a diversion. The amendatory veto, we've checked with all the lawyers. It's totally constitutional, totally appropriate. Basically, what I did was look at the bill that passed in the spring. Speaker Madigan knows it was a bad bill. He forced it through. It was not bipartisan. Only Democrats from the Chicago area primarily voted for it. And then they sat on it for 2 months. They did not want me to fix it. They did not want a negotiation or discussion. They just sat on it for 2 months to try to create a crisis so they could threaten the schools not to open. So only SB1 was an option. They finally sent it to my desk. I fixed it. I sent it back within a few hours. And they've just now, the Senate, at Madigan's direction, voted to override my veto. We need your listeners to understand what's really going on here. There's a huge diversion of money from the suburbs and downstate to Chicago in the bill, and you can see the results of it when they look at the numbers. And again, they're at illinois.gov/gov. You can see the truth to what's going on.
There's state aid payments that were supposed to go out on August 10th. These are the twice-a-month payments, I assume,
yep.
And there is a Democratic provision that was placed in the bill that holds those payments until there is, I think the term was, verifiable math on what the school funding situation would look like. So once again, teachers and students and parents are left in the lurcher. And while we think schools are going to open on time, the stress we put on families in this state is absolutely ridiculous.
No, that's exactly right. Unfortunately, Speaker Madigan and his majority, they've been doing this to Illinois for decades. They did it to us in the budget battle and the tax hike. Madigan held up. He wouldn't pass any budget for 2 years. Because he wanted to force a tax hike with no reforms whatsoever. He finally broke off a few Republicans to just, they gave in, they surrendered and said, okay, we'll vote for a tax hike with no reforms. And he did that by holding up funding for schools, for universities, community colleges, social services. And he's doing it to us again right now on our schools. He's saying SB1 is the only option, even though it bails out Chicago, and you can see it in the numbers. The proof is in the numbers that got generated by the State Board of Education. Even though it's a massive bailout, it's the only option we'll consider, and it has to become the law.
You mentioned not passing a budget within 2 years, and this goes to the larger premise, and I know you've heard the mayor on the show talking about you, and you guys used to get along, and you used to hang out a bit, and now I can't even get you together for a cup of coffee. But here's the thing.
You know, Steve, this is a really important point. I still consider him a friend, but you know, he used to try to reform. He's given up. And after the McDonald video was forced into the public, he collapsed into Madigan's arms completely. It's very tragic. It's tragic for everyone in Chicago and around the state. He's collapsed into his arms, and he's really doing as Madigan's directing him. And well, it's so sad to see. It's very, very frustrating.
Well, you know how I feel about the speaker and how he's got a chokehold on the state. Having said that, the fact that he blocked a budget for 2 years goes to the larger issue of realism here. I believe you've already accomplished a lot of terrific things for this state, and a lot of them that don't get noticed or aren't going to be noticed anytime soon. Yeah. But the legacy of underfunding Chicago schools or not getting school funding done right now is going to get hung on you because you're the governor. Yeah. Isn't it better in the long term with somebody with the stubbornness of Madigan, who doesn't care what people think and doesn't have a phone in his office to even take a call on what people think? Isn't it better to take the best deal you can get now and move on so that you have a fair chance of being reelected to continue the fight?
Well, I have to do what's right for the people of Illinois. And I'll say this, Steve, you're correct. I will compromise on any element. I will compromise. I'll find common ground. And I've said anything in my mandatory veto can be on the table and take away a lot of it. I'm willing to compromise. What I wanted to do with the mandatory veto is show how broken the current system is and how broken SB1 only makes it worse. Steve, we have to do fair things for the suburbs and the suburban kids. There are low-income kids in Aurora and Cicero and Waukegan and Elgin. They deserve to get more funding, too, just like I'd like to get more for Chicago. Those districts, though, don't have the property tax wealth that Chicago has locked away in TIF districts. Chicago has locked up their property tax value in TIF districts so the mayor can have slush funds. It doesn't fund the schools. In fact, this is one of the areas that the Chicago Teachers Union and I agree on. They've been complaining about these TIF funds that take taxpayers' money in Chicago and lock it away for slush funds and don't fund the schools. $19,000 per student in Chicago is locked away and doesn't fund the schools. That's wrong, and I expose that in the mandatory veto. And what's unfair about it especially is in the current funding formula and in SB1, the rest of the state has to subsidize that locked away money and put more money into Chicago because Chicago is locking its own money away.
So that's...
And the second problem, and this is really important too, Speaker Madigan is in Chicago cutting insider deals to reduce the property taxes on downtown office buildings. He's become a millionaire doing that. And he's taken money away from Chicago public schools by his insider building evaluations and tax reductions he's been doing for years. It's a broken system, and the rest of the state subsidizes those shenanigans, and Chicago students get less money because of those insider shenanigans.
So, Governor, that's my question to you. How will this affect me, the average taxpayer? How will property taxes be affected and property control by TIF districts if the override of the veto survives?
Well, it's a great question. So if SB1 becomes the law, if it becomes the law and I'm overridden in the House, your property taxes, if you're in the suburbs or downstate, your property taxes are going to go much higher. If I'm overridden and SB1 becomes law, your income taxes are going to get huge pressure to go up even more than what Speaker Madigan already forced through in June. And your schools will lose money over time because your money is being diverted to the Chicago financial structure and a pension bailout. This is wrong. It's fundamentally unfair. And that's why I did the AV. And you can see the results of it online at illinois.gov.
You sort of answered my next question in the midst of it, but Mayor Emanuel's been on the show many times and comes back to the same thing, and it goes to part of what I brought up before, and that is the mayor says, Governor, you're getting 90% of what you asked for. Take yes for an answer. Take the 90%. Anybody in a negotiation would say that's a good deal. What's your response to that?
That 90% of a bill's language is in this case, is only 20% of the financial results. What he's referring to, I think, is that the funding formula was done on a bipartisan basis, and I support it. That was the work of the commission that I recommended. That part of the bill, it's the bulk of the language in the bill, 90% of the language, I think. I support that. The problem is the 10% of the language diverts hundreds of millions of dollars away from the suburbs and downstate to Chicago in a broken, unsustainable system. That's the part I'm taking out, and that's the part that really matters. You know, the devil's in the details so much on these bills, and that's how Madigan has manipulated our state into the financial disaster that we've become by inserting bad details into otherwise what seemed to be good bipartisan bills and having a terrible result.
The House, if they do not override, I know the Senate has a bill that they approved this weekend, which could restart the clock and restart the process again. But what happens to the schools in the meantime if you guys continue to be choked on this in Springfield?
Well, this is what's so tragic. This is what Speaker Madigan wants, to increase his leverage. He should have sent that bad bill to my desk when he passed it May 31st, over two and a half months ago. He didn't want that, because then we would have a good full discussion. We would have time to work it out. We'd have 2 months of negotiations. He didn't want that because he knows the truth is bad for his bill, and the truth is very good for my amendatory veto. So he waited until August, passed it to me, I flipped it around, and now he's going very slow. He's waited 2 weeks since my AV. He wants the crisis. He wants children's parents scared. He wants teachers upset, to increase his leverage in the negotiations.
Are you prepared to lose re-election over this?
I will. You know what? I will never give up trying to help the people of Illinois create a better future for our children and our grandchildren. You know, I'm a volunteer. I'm doing this out of love of our state, love of our home here. I will never give up working for the people of Illinois as a volunteer, no matter what. I always will push to do what's right for the long term and be clear about it. But I will always be willing to compromise. I will always be willing to be flexible and find common ground. I tried to do it in the budget negotiations. Madigan would have none of it. He wouldn't negotiate on term limits or fare maps or property tax relief or job-creating regulatory reduction. He wouldn't negotiate at all. I kept trying. He finally broke down in the General Assembly and forced a tax hike. He's doing the same thing to us with our children's education. It's wrong. I'll keep working. I'll try to compromise. Hopefully we'll find common ground.
Give that website link out again for people that you'd like to see.
Illinois.gov/gov. Illinois.gov/gov. You can find all the numbers. They're also verifiable on ISBE, the Illinois State Board of Education's website, although that one's so convoluted it's hard to follow. But either place you can find out the truth of what we're arguing about, and hopefully we can find common ground that's fair for Chicago and fair for all the children throughout the suburbs and around the state.
I know we both have to run here, but final question, is the business of the state of Illinois getting done, or is this taking up all the time?
Boy, we are getting a lot done. We're signing good legislation every day. We're making our government leaner and more effective. We're recruiting companies. In fact, I'm going to Asia in a couple of weeks to recruit more businesses. We've grown about 120,000 jobs since I became governor. I'm working 24/7 to get our state healthy and strong, and we're making progress, and we'll look forward to talking about that with you in the future.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.